If you have your Bibles this morning, I would like to ask you to please turn to the book of Exodus. I would like to read from Exodus chapter 24. I encourage you to look in your Bibles as we always try to read and study the Word of God. I think it's always important that we look at God's Word together. I think that it helps us all remember the Word of God when we not only hear what's being said, but when we actually look down at the Scriptures and read the Word of God. Before we begin to read from Exodus chapter 24, I would ask that you please join your hearts together with me in a moment of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for sparing our lives, the lives of our family and friends through another night and blessing us to be able to come together this day in thy house to try to worship thee. We thank you, Lord, for the songs that have been sung, and we pray that you would bless us to always make a joyful noise unto the Lord, to sing unto the Lord, to sing in the Spirit and sing with understanding. We thank you for the privilege that we have to not only just to sing by ourselves, but to join together with our brothers and sisters in Christ, to be able to come together in the house of God with those that love thee and that love the Word of God. And we pray that you would bless us together this morning, that we would hear the Word of the Lord. We ask you to teach us and instruct us by thy Word, and that thou would help us that we would be doers of thy Word and not hearers only. Lord, we thank you for every person that's here. Thank you for those that are improved. We thank you for blessing some that have been sick to be doing so much better. And we ask you to continue to bless them. Others that still are in great need of thy healing hand, we pray that you would touch them and heal them and lift them up. Thank you, Lord, for those that have gotten good reports from the doctors this week. We pray that you would accept our thanksgiving in their behalf. And we pray that you would help us not to just thank you with the words of our mouth, but by the deeds of our lives, help us to show forth the gratitude that we feel for thy goodness to us. We beg thy blessings upon those that are still having tests. Pray that you would bless them to all get good reports. Pray that you would bless those who have great trouble this day, those with cancer and other problems. We pray that thou, as the great physician, that you would touch them, heal them, and completely restore them to their health, and that you would bless their family members with the strength and grace that they need. Be with all of thy people. Bless those who have lost loved ones. We pray that you would comfort their hearts. We ask you to bless all of thy ministers this day, that they would preach the Word of God. Fill us with thy Spirit now. Teach us and instruct us. And we pray that you would bless our nation. Have mercy on us in every needed way. We pray in the blessed and holy name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I'd like to read now from Exodus chapter 24 and verse 12. We have been trying to study the Word of God tells us a number of reasons that God has given us His holy Word. We're going to study again today another one of the reasons that God has given us the Bible, another reason that God has given us the Word. The Word of God says in Exodus chapter 24 and verse 12, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Come up to me into the mount, and be there, and I will give thee tables of stone, and a law, and commandments which I have written." God says, you come up into the mountain, and I'm going to give you these commandments. I'm going to give you the law. I'm going to give you the Word of God. And then he tells him why he was giving him the Word, the laws and the commandments. He says, that thou mayest teach them. And I pray that God will help us to realize this morning that God has not just given us the Word of God for us individually to rejoice in the Word and to know what God says. God has given us His commandments so that we can, what does He say that we can go do then? So that we can teach them. So that we can teach the Word of God. I'm so glad, I'm so thankful that God has given us His written Word. I'm glad that He has not said that we're supposed to decide on our own. Whatever the majority says is right, that's what we'll go by. I'm glad God has not done that. I'm glad God has not said for us to get up and teach whatever the majority says is right. And I'm not supposed to get up and teach what I say is right or what we think is right. I'm not supposed to get up and tell you what my parents or my grandparents taught you. I'm not supposed to get up and teach you the traditions of men or the thoughts of men, but I'm supposed to be teaching, and you're supposed to be teaching what? the Word of God. That's exactly right. We're supposed to be teaching the Word of God. And God says, now, that's the reason, Moses, that I'm giving you the statutes and the laws and the commandments, is for you to go and teach the Word of God. Teach the laws of God. Brethren, the laws of God are right and they're good. And they're given for our good as well as for God's glory. And the one thing we all need to pray and understand this morning is that one of the reasons that God has given us the Bible is not just for me to know or for you to know what the Bible says, but it's given to us for us to go and teach others the Word of God. Are you supposed to only teach the Word of God to those that are born again? In other words, are you supposed to only talk to people that are born again? Are you only supposed to tell them what the laws of God are? Well, I would ask you an answer to that question. I would ask you to think about John the Baptist when he went to Herod. When John the Baptist went to Herod, it did not matter whether Herod was born again or not. Herod, as a human being on this earth, was under the laws of God. And when John the Baptist went to Herod, he was telling Herod what the law of God said. He told Herod, when Herod had married his brother's wife, he said to Herod, he said, it is not, what's the next word right there? It is not lawful for thee to have her. Well, whose law was that? Was that John the Baptist's law? No, it wasn't John the Baptist's law. It was the law of God. Was it the law of Herod? No, it wasn't the law of Herod. Herod had a different law. But what John the Baptist was there to do was to teach Herod the law of God. Teach him the Word of God. Teach him the commandments of God. Teach him the right way. And so it is in our lives that God has given us His Word just as God gave Moses His Word right here. He says, now I'm giving you this law and these commandments. I'm giving you the Word of God. I'm giving you these tables of stone for you to go and teach my commandments and teach the people the Word of God. Now, I want to just follow through as we look at some of the Scriptures this morning and see one place that we're to begin teaching people the Word of God. Go with me in your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 6. And we'll see what the Word of God says that you're supposed to be teaching. And I want to say to every parent here that if you have your children at home, if you're just teaching them the multiplication tables and the ABCs, you know, it's amazing that parents say, and I remember our children and our grandchildren, we taught them the ABCs. How many of you remember teaching your children the alphabet? Teach them the ABCs. And teach them how to read. How many of you rejoiced in watching your children begin to learn to read? And watching them to begin to learn to do their math, and they come home with the papers and you show how they can add and they can subtract and multiply and divide. And we spend much time concentrating on teaching our children the things that they need to be taught as far as natural education goes. But the question I want to ask you this morning, are we teaching them the most important thing? It is more important for you to teach your children the Word of God. The idea that people say our children have enough homework without having to study the Bible, that's a pathway to destruction. Your children's lives, your families will be destroyed unless you begin to realize that you're to teach your children the Word of God. It's more important that you teach them the Word of God than you teach them anything else. Now, am I saying they don't need a natural education? Not saying that at all. They need a natural education. In fact, you need an education in order to be able to read the Word of God. But I'm saying that don't let that be the primary focus of your children, is just teaching them natural things, but teach them the Word of God. If your children, listen carefully, if your children can't take the Word of God and teach other people what's right and what's wrong, if your children can't take the Word of God and teach them the truth, and let me emphasize, when we talk about teaching the Word of God, we're talking about teaching truth. God says, Jesus says, Thy Word. When we talk about teaching, we're talking about teaching truth, the truth of God's Word. The truth, Jesus says, if ye continue in My Word, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. We need the truth more than anything else in America today. We need to hear the truth of God's Word. There are many perversions of the truth. There are many distortions of the truth. But we need the pure, unadulterated truth of God's Word. And we need to be praying that God will help us to teach the truth. And you need to teach your children the truth. And I would just ask of all of you children, if you don't know the truth, I beg you to start studying. Whether your parents teach you or not, I beg you to read and study God's Word. Every one of these teenagers, you ought to be able to tell me chapter and verse. You ought to be able to quote God's Word. You ought to be able to hear the Word of God. You ought to be able to teach others the Word of God. You ought to be able to teach them what God's Word says and give them exact Scripture where it's found in the Word of God. Is that too hard? Is that asking too much? Is it asking too much to ask that our teenagers begin to learn and understand and be able to teach others? I don't think it's asking too much. I think that we minimize their intelligence and we minimize the importance of the Word of God when we'll sit down and we'll teach them over and over and work with them day after day to teach them the ABCs, and we teach them multiplication tables, and they learn many other things in secular education. But if they can't teach the Word of God, we have failed as parents and we have failed as the church if we haven't tried to exhort the families to teach the Word of God in their homes. Teach them the truth. Why did God give Moses those laws and commandments? He says to teach them. To teach them. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 6. The Word of God says in Deuteronomy chapter 6, beginning in verse 4, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might." And these words, listen carefully now, why has God given us the Word? He tells us right here, "In these words, which I command thee this day, shall be in thine heart." Now, is it good to have the Word of God in your heart? To have it where? To have it in your heart. To have it memorized. I thank God that one dear sister called me this week crying and weeping over troubles and problems in her life. And she says, "Brother Billy, give me some Scriptures. I need some Word of God." Did you know that's the way it is? Sometimes in my life I can get so weak and weary and faint and so low that I might have to call you up and say, "Give me some Scripture." Have you ever been that weak and weary and faint that you just needed something from God's Word? You needed the Word of God in your life. Well, listen, brethren, you need to, the Word of God says, lay up thy Word. Lay up the Word of God in your heart. Memorize the Word of God. Know it in your head. Know it in your heart. He says right here in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 6, "And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart." Hold on to them. Memorize them. "And thou shalt..." Don't just memorize them and hold them in your heart. Don't just keep them in your heart. But what does he say after he tells them to memorize the Word of God and hold it in the heart? In verse 7 he says, "And thou shalt teach them diligently." Do you do a diligent job of trying to teach your children the secular education that they have? Do you do a diligent job? How many of you have ever kept your children up late night getting projects ready? How many of you have ever done that? How many of you have had your children up late at night teaching them the things that are in public school? And I would then follow that up by asking you, how many of you keep your children up late to teach them the Word of God? How many of you find that you spend more time teaching them a secular education than you do the Word of God? If you're doing that, you're failing as parents. Now you may think that's too hard, but I'm telling you, as parents and grandparents, we need to understand one of the reasons God has given us the Word of God is to teach our children the Word of God. He says in verse 7, "And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house." Do you sit around and talk about the Word of God? We sit around and talk about ball games, and we talk about other kinds of things. We talk about gardening, but God says, when you sit around your house, what are you supposed to be talking about? He says, talk about the Word of God. "Teach them diligently unto thy children. Thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." What's God saying about the Word of God? He's saying, my Word is important in your life. My Word is important. My Word will keep you from perishing. Last Sunday morning we tried to study about the valley of dry bones. Listen, brethren, the Word of God will keep God's people from having to perish like that valley of dry bones. The Word of God can revive a valley of dry bones, but I'm telling you, you don't have to go through that perishing that Israel went through. We need to teach our children the Word of God. Now, that I'm just having to go quickly, but that's one group of people you're supposed to teach is your children. Now go with me to 2 Chronicles chapter 17. Go forward in your Bibles to 2 Chronicles chapter 17. You're going to find that it's not just your children you teach the Word of God to. The Word of God tells us that we're to teach everybody that we come in contact with. Wherever I go, whatever I do, every place I go, everybody I see, I need to give them a portion of the Word of God. I need to teach the Word of God. Look in your Bibles, please, at 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 9. My question is, did Moses teach the Word of God? That's the first question. Did Moses teach the Word of God? God gave him the commandments to teach the people. And then God told Moses, now you tell the parents, you tell them, teach their children the Word of God. Now in 2 Chronicles chapter 17, listen to what the Word of God says. In 2 Chronicles chapter 17 and verse 9, the Word of God says, and they taught in Judah. I'm going to ask you, I just want to reemphasize something to you right here. Are there some things that are my opinion that are different than the Word of God? In other words, do I have my opinion about a lot of things that the Bible doesn't specifically say? I have my opinion, right? You have your opinion. Now, I'm not talking about things the Scripture specifically addressed. I have my opinion. You don't have to listen to my opinions, and you don't have to do what my opinions are. You don't have to do what I think. But listen, brethren, if you don't do what God's Word says, you're headed for great trouble in your life. God's Word, this opinion, is it my opinion that you ought to teach your children the Word of God? Is that my opinion? Is that my opinion? That's not my opinion. It's not my thought. It's not my rule. It's not my way. It's God's Word. It's God's way. It's God's rules. In 2 Chronicles chapter 17, verse 9, the Word of God says, and they taught in Judah and had the book of the law of the Lord with them. Did they take the book around? I tell you, there's nothing wrong. You know, children even come to church sometimes without their Bibles. Isn't that amazing? Adults come to church sometimes. They don't even have their Bibles. I tell you, we're missing the mark, brethren. If you don't have your Bible with you, you're missing the mark. I taught school. Whenever I had children that came to school without their books and without their notebook and without their pencil and without their pen or whatever they needed, if they came ill-prepared to class, there were consequences to that. And there are consequences that come when God's people don't carry the Word of God with them. You come to God's house, you need your Bibles when you come to the house of God. I know that we have Bibles there on the pews, but listen, brethren, you ought to have your Bible, and you ought to be so familiar with your Bible that you can flip to anything in God's holy Word. The Word of God says here about Judah and Jerusalem. They carried the Word of God around with them. In 2 Chronicles 17 verse 9, and they taught in Judah and had the book of the law of the Lord with them and went about through all the cities of Judah. And what's the last thing that says there? And they taught the people. Did it matter whether or not they were born again? Did they have to ask them? Well, now, I don't know whether I ought to say anything to you or not. You might not be born again. None of that made any difference to them, brethren. They went around telling the people what God's Word said, what the law of God said, what the commandments of God were. They were teaching the people. You think they taught their children at home? Yes, they taught their children at home. At this point in Israel's life, they were teaching in their home, but that wasn't the only place they taught. When they went out, everywhere they went, what did they do? They carried the book of the law with them, and they taught the people the Word of God. You know one reason God's given you a Bible? Is for you to carry it around and teach people the Word of God. You might say, well, that's not just for the preacher. That's all the people are to teach the Word of God. That's everybody. If you love God, you need to be teaching God's Word. Now, I'll hold that and I hope it comes back to me later. Go with me to Isaiah chapter 2. Look in your Bibles, please, at Isaiah chapter 2. I want you to notice that there's a prophecy here about the coming of the church and the kingdom of heaven in Isaiah chapter 2. And it says, now, when the kingdom of heaven is established, when the church of Jesus Christ is established, it doesn't use these exact words, but you'll read it in its context. He's talking about the coming of the kingdom of heaven and the coming of the church. He says in Isaiah chapter 2, there's a great prophecy being made here about 700 years before Christ was born and before the church and the kingdom were established. In Isaiah chapter 2, listen please to verses 2 and 3. Isaiah chapter 2, verse 2 says, "And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house," the mountain of the what? The mountain of the Lord's house. Do you know what the Lord's house is? Everybody know what the Lord's house is? This isn't my house. This isn't my church. This is the Lord's house. It's His house. It's His church. Jesus says, "Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." The Word of God says that we are given the commandments of God so that we can know how to behave ourselves in the house of the living God, the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. It's the house of God. It's the church of the living God. It's the pillar and ground of the truth. And Isaiah chapter 2, he says, there's going to come a day. It shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow into it. Into what? The mountain of the Lord's house. And then verse 2 says, "And many people shall go and say, come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord," to the what? What's on top of that mountain?
The house of God.
Yes. "Let's go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of God of Jacob, and He will." Why do we want to go to the house of God? I know we come to worship, but why else do we come to the house of God besides just to worship God in singing and prayer? But it's also in the study of God's holy Word. We worship God when we reverence God's Word. So He says, "Let's go up to the house of God, and He will teach us of His ways, and we will walk in His paths." You hear what they say there? There was going to come a time that God was going to teach His Word in His house. And what were the people going to say? We will what? We will walk in His paths. Question I have this morning is, are we walking in His paths? Second question I have is, are we walking in His paths if we're not teaching other people the Word of God? If we're not teaching the truth, we're not walking in His paths. We must be. One of the reasons God has given us His Word is not just for me to rejoice in the Word of God, but for me to then go out and teach others. Teach in my home, but teach other people. And to say to other people, He says in Isaiah 2 here, that we're to say to other people, come to the house of God. Because in the house of God, we're going to be taught the Word of God. Listen, brethren, do you know it is not important? I have tried sometimes. I took speech in college, and I was taught that you start off with a little joke when you're going to give a speech. You start off with a little joke. And you intersperse whatever little speech you're giving, you intersperse that with humor. And you intersperse that with a lot of different kinds of jokes and little stories. Listen, brethren, that might do as far as speeches goes, but it has nothing to do with preaching the Word of God. You don't need to hear little jokes. You don't need to hear little stories. You don't need to hear my thoughts or my feelings. You need to hear the Word of God. That's what's important. When you come to the house of God, you know what you need to hear? You know what you ought to want to hear? It's the Word of God. People that love the Word of God, they go to the house of God. If all they hear is little stories and little sermonettes, if they don't hear the Word of God preached, they're going to leave very disgusted and very dissatisfied. When you go to the house of God, you ought to be able to hear the Word of God. And that's what He says that the people of God ought to say. Come to the house of God so you can hear the Word of God. My responsibility is to preach the Word. Preach the Word. Preach the Word. Preach the Word. Doesn't matter what anybody wants to hear. Preach the Word. That's what Paul told Timothy. He said, preach the Word. The time will come. They will not endure sound doctrine. But preach the Word anyway. It's important, brethren, that we hear the Word of the Lord. It's important that we preach the Word of God. It's important that you and I teach the Word of God. In our homes, yes. In other places, yes. Everywhere you go, teach the Word of God. And invite people to come to the house of God. Why? So they can hear more of what? More of the Word. Any of you remember a song, "Let Me Entertain You"? Well, sometimes, brethren, I've been to churches before that I thought that's what they ought to sing. Because that's all that was going on, with just a little entertainment. And we're not here to entertain anybody. We're here to worship God. We're not here to just sing some specials for you to just clap. And let me tell you something, brethren. This idea of somebody getting up and singing and you clapping and say, "Oh, that was real good," that's not part of worshiping God. And this idea of somebody finishing preaching and say, "Oh, you did a wonderful job," that's not part of being in the house of God. We're here to worship God, not men. And I and you, if we begin to worship men more than worshiping God, if we begin to give praise to men rather than giving glory to God, God will remove His presence from this place. This church, nor any other church, is immune to God removing His Spirit. Whenever we get away from the Word of God, when we get away from the ways of God, when we get to the point we don't care about what God says, God will remove His Spirit from the church. We need to pray, "God, help us to invite other people to come to the house of God so they can hear something valuable. The Word of God, the truth of God." I remember my daddy said many times, "I'd rather die and leave my children the knowledge of the truth of the Word of God than to leave them $10 million. Well, he said a million. Used to a million meant a lot. But I would say that to you today, I'd rather die and leave my children and my grandchildren a truth, a knowledge of the truth of God's Word. I'd rather teach them the Word of God and them know what God's Word says and know the truth of God's Word than to leave them all the money in the world. A knowledge of the truth is of extreme value. Your children can face the problems and troubles in life, but they need the truth of God's Word. And I'll tell you, brethren, one of the most wonderful things we have is the truth of God's Word. Truth. There's nothing else to attract anybody to this church other than the truth of God's Word. And the love of the brethren. But that's part of the truth, isn't it? That's part of the truth. Nothing else here. We need the truth of God's Word. Now there's some people that love the truth. They love the truth enough to drive a long ways to come to hear the truth of God's Word. Listen, brethren, some of you drive many miles every Sunday to come to the house of God, and I thank God for it. But the only thing we have here, it's not me, and you know that. You don't come here to hear me. What do you come for? Why do you drive? You come to hear what? The Word of God. The Word of God. I'm used by God to teach the Word of God and preach the Word of God, but what you've come to hear is the Word of God, and I thank God for the blessed privilege that I have. And it is a wonderful privilege to live and see people that love the truth of God's Word so much that they'll walk by, ride by, pass by many other houses to come to the house of God to worship God in spirit and in truth. I thank God that I'm not like some of the old prophets of old that said I don't have anybody to preach to. I thank God I have people that love the truth, that love the Word of God, and they want to hear the Word of God. And I pray that God will bless all of you to pray that you'll realize how valuable, listen carefully, how valuable the truth is to your children. Do you know the truth's valuable to your children? Your children, listen, your children deserve the best. And the best is not in some public school or private school or home school. You know where the best is? The best is in the Word of God. That's the best right there. Teach them the Word of God. Go with me now to the New Testament very quickly. Turn to the New Testament. I want to give you just a couple of scriptures. In 2 Timothy, please look in your Bibles at 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Do you know that I believe that it's my responsibility to sit down with you one-on-one, two-on-two, one-on-two, whatever? It's important that we sit down and study God's Word together. Did you know that? It's important. preaching from the pulpit is important. But you know, the Apostle Paul said he went from house to house teaching and preaching the Word of God. Teaching the Word of God. In fact, you study the book of Acts, you'll find that more than preaching, you'll find teaching is mentioned over and over. Going around teaching the Word of God. And it's important for me to teach you the Word of God. And I'm thankful from the bottom of my heart that some of you have enough love for the truth and the Word of God that you say, teach me, teach me, teach me. For some of you in this congregation that have spent hours and hours and hours being taught God's Word. Some of you, when you were 16 to 18 years old, would come and sit down in my home and say, teach me the Word of God. I'll tell you, Cindy Minix is a miracle. Did you know that? You look at her background, you look what she came from. God lifted her up. And when she was a young lady, she used to come to my house. How old were you, Sister Cindy? 18? Used to come to the house day after day, just sit there. Delivered from... I'll tell you, God lifted her up. And she would just come and just sit there. Teach me the Word. Teach me the Word. Teach me the Word. Oh, brethren, how wonderful it is. See, I didn't have the same kind of background she did. I was taught the Word from a little child. That's the way Timothy was. The Word of God says that Timothy was taught from a little child. His mother and his grandmother, oh, they taught him the Word of God. Thank God for godly mothers and grandmothers. Now, I've had the privilege to teach some of you. I want you to follow what the Scripture says now. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, listen to verses 1 and 2. The Word of God says, thou therefore, my son, Paul had taught Timothy now. He says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Now listen carefully to verse 2. And the things that thou hast heard of me, what do you think Paul taught Timothy? Did he teach him what he thought, what he felt, what he believed? No, he taught him the truth. Taught him the Word of God. He says, the things which thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Do you hear what Paul says, man? Paul is saying to Timothy, he's saying, Timothy, now I've taught you. And he says, now you go and you teach other people. He says, you commit those things that I've taught you. You commit them to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Do you know what one of the functions is of the church? It's for people to be taught the Word of God, and then for the people in the house of God to go out and what? Teach others also. What a wonderful privilege it is to hear the Word of God. I'm glad God's given us His Word. We would fight. There's no way we could be together if we had to make up the rules and decide on the rules. All of you know that? Oh, we can't decide. I don't think we've ever decided on carpet or pews or anything. Everybody all agreed. Do you understand that? We don't all agree. The only thing that keeps this body united is the Word of God. That's what we can all unite on. And on all these other things, all the peripheral things, the things that God's Word doesn't specifically address, whatever the majority wants as far as color of pews and color of walls and all that, that makes no difference. What does make a difference is that we be united and that we stand together with the body in the truth of God's holy Word. May God help us to thank the Lord for His Word and realize we have responsibilities. Give us the Word to tell the truth to others is my prayer for Christ's sake.